Good morning. Good morning. Happy Friday. If you could turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 9, we'll be looking at verses 57 all the way to the end of the chapter. So that's Luke chapter 9. All right, Luke chapter 9, verse 57 and 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." But he said to him, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." Another also said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home." But Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Amen. So as I was preparing for the morning devotional today, I was kind of reflecting back on this whole year. And I know that, you know, this year's mandate as for us as a church was, you know, "Lord, teach us to pray." And it was to really, you know, launch us into a new season and a new area of praying in our own lives. And, you know, I was just thinking about that, and I was just thinking about my own spiritual life in general, and just looking back from the beginning of this year to today, like how it's been. And to be quite frank and very honest with you guys, I guess it hasn't been as good as it should have been. And, you know, maybe many of you guys are also feeling the same way. But I don't feel as though I'm where I wanted to be from the beginning of this year, let's say. Let's say in the beginning of the year after the fast, we're all like pumped up and, you know, you're like very gung-ho about going after God. But then you come to this place now, we're almost at the end of 2012, and we look back and we're kind of like, oh, you know, I don't know if I had that same, you know, desire, that hunger as I did back in the beginning of this year. And, you know, many of us, you know, we have different reasons for it. We could be like, oh, you know, I've been really busy. Work has been a little bit crazy now, and so it's been hard to focus. Or, you know, maybe we're just so tired. It's harder now to, you know, pray because I'm so tired. I can't think straight and things like that. And I know a lot of us have different reasons. But, you know, like thinking about this, I think all of these things is just, this is my thought. I think the reason why many of us maybe are feeling this way is perhaps to some extent we just forgot what it means to follow Jesus as Christians in our lives. And so this morning, as part of this devotion, I thought it might be a good opportunity just to remind ourselves why it is that we follow Jesus, what it means to be a follower of Christ, and what it requires of us. And hopefully as we remember these things, you know, kickstart back something up in our lives to go after him. So I just have three simple points which I'm going to take from this passage here. But the first point, right, what does it mean to follow Jesus? The first point is, if you want to follow Jesus, it requires sacrifice, okay? And where I'm going to get that from is verses 57 to 58. I'm going to read this again. It says, "As they were going along the road, someone said to him, 'I will follow you wherever you will go,'" right? My thought is, this guy who came to Jesus and said, "You know, I'm going to follow you wherever you go." If you read the book of Luke before this, you know, the great amazing things happen. You see Jesus feeding 5,000. You see his disciples and even Jesus like healing people from demons and sicknesses and things like that. So what I'm thinking is, this guy, when he comes to Jesus, he probably heard about what these guys are doing. Maybe he even experienced it. Maybe he even got to see what was happening in there. So he's excited. He comes to Jesus like, "Jesus, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to follow you. You know what? I'm going to give my life for you. I'm going to go wherever you will go." But then Jesus turns to him, and Jesus is not like, "That's amazing. Come follow me." Jesus turns to him and says something funny. He goes, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And basically what Jesus is saying is that, you know, like, even animals have places they call home. But to follow me, you know, I don't even get that, you know, opportunity. I'm on the move and things like that. And so it costs something to follow me. And I guess what he noticed in this guy was the fact that he, this man, didn't realize that when it comes to following God, when it comes to following Christ, there is a sacrifice, there is a cost that is required for us in our lives. And, you know, many of us, we could probably relate to this guy. I mean, you know, there are, you know, many of us, like, when we get on a spiritual high, we come off of a retreat, and we feel like we've experienced the God, and we're all like, you know what, God? Oh, you're so amazing. I'm just going to follow you. You know what? I commit my life to you. I am going to follow you 110%. And then suddenly it comes to, you know, oh, you got to come out more to pray then. And you're like, really? Oh, shoots. I have to pray more? And then it's like, oh, we got a building vision. Yeah, I'm all for it. Let's get a building. It's like, oh, shoot. That means I have to give? Oh, I didn't realize that I had to do these things now because I decided to follow Christ. And the truth of the matter is, I'm, you know, very honestly, there is a cost to following Jesus. And, you know, the surprising thing is, in our own lives, in our secular, I mean, you know, in the lives that we live outside of church, the concept of sacrifice is not something new. It's not something hard, right? I mean, if you think about it, many of us, day in and day out, we are sacrificing things for our jobs, for our family, for our relationship. Many of us are working ridiculous hours, maybe even on the weekends, right? But when it comes to things of God, we're unable to make, very honestly, we're unable to make that sacrifice as easily as we do with, let's say, jobs, relationships, and family. And so the question really is, why? Why is it so hard for us to sacrifice for the things of God when it comes to being so easy to sacrifice for the things of this world? And that's something that we really do need to take time to reflect on and to think about. And, you know, I didn't just want to make you guys feel bad. So here's my two cents about the whole matter, right? Here's the thing. I think the reason why it's easier for us to sacrifice things of this things for the things of this world is because when we, let's say, for example, we take a job, right? You know, we work tireless hours. We, you know, we sacrifice, you know, rest. We fly to countries all over the world to make work. We even sacrifice some of our own friendships with people. We don't spend time with them for the sake of this job. And I think a lot of the reasons why we do that is because we are looking forward to the reward that is coming, right? For many of us, it's like a bonus at the year end. And what we do is we give and we give and we give, and we put in as much as we can because we're expecting at the end of the day this reward to come. And many of us have the expectation. That's why at the year end, when bonus figures come out, people are unhappy. Why? Because they feel like they've given in this and this amount, this amount, this amount. So they're expecting that, you know, that similar equal value back in some form, either monetarily or some other way, right? And maybe we forget the fact that when we sacrifice for God, there is a reward that comes with it too, right? And the funny thing is, when we sacrifice for things of this world, when we sacrifice for jobs and stuff, we are looking for something of equal value, right? We sacrifice time, we expect something to come that equates to the amount of effort. But with the things of God, the interesting is, when we sacrifice, God doesn't give us the equal amount back, right? He doesn't bless us in the same amount. He doesn't say, okay, you gave this much, so I'm going to bless you this much back, right? When you sacrifice for God, he blesses you back in abundance. And I think that's something that we always forget, that when we sacrifice these small things, God comes and he just gives us everything and all the desires of our heart. So I didn't want to discourage you guys, but I just want to encourage you. You know, there is a sacrifice that comes with serving God, but the reward is so much greater than any other sacrifice you probably have made in your life. So I encourage you guys to do that. So that's the first thing. So following Jesus requires sacrifice. The second point is that following Jesus means putting God first. And that goes to the verse, if we could look at verse 59 and 60, it says, "And he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father.' But he said to him, 'Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God.'" And to explain this scripture, so you have another guy. Jesus comes to another guy and goes, "Hey, you know what? Follow me." And this guy turns to Jesus and says, "Jesus, can you let me go first and to, you know, bury my father and do all these things?" And Jesus doesn't say, "Yeah, you know, go do that. You should do that." He goes, "No, let the dead bury their own, you know, but you go and proclaim the gospel." And it's easy to take this passage out of context, because if you read it at face value, it's kind of messed up, right? You have this guy who, it sounds like his father just died, and he comes to Jesus like, Jesus, can I please go bury my father? And Jesus turns around and says, no, go proclaim the gospel, right? It sounds wrong, but, you know, you have to understand the context of this gospel. This guy's father didn't die. His father wasn't dead. What he is saying is that, Jesus, let me go take care of my father, look after him until he passes away, and once he's gone, then I will come to follow you. So it wasn't a matter that his father was dead now. What he was saying was that, can you give me some time so I can take care of my parents, actually father, and once he passes away, then I will come to follow you, right? And so, very honestly, this passage probably was most powerful to me. If I could just share my story, about 2 years ago, I'll be very honest. So about 2 years ago, our church, you know, we started this building fund, this vision fund. And we were asking the church to come together to give and things like that. And at the same time, we were, as a board and as a steering committee, we were looking around, looking for places to buy and if there were any opportunities for us to buy and use as our next sanctuary. And at the time, there was one building that was kind of promising. And, you know, we were starting to negotiate. We were starting to talk about it. We were starting to get our finances in order. And, you know, when you buy a building, you need money, right? And our building fund at that point probably wasn't ready enough then. So obviously what you do is you go to a bank, you ask them for money, and you get a mortgage and things like that. And so when we were going to these banks and we were talking about it, I guess the process is that when you get these mortgages and things like that, you need a guarantor. You need people to guarantee that in the event that something defaults, someone needs to pay the bill, right? And, you know, at that point, so we were talking with the board. We're like, oh, what should we do and things like that? And, you know, the discussion was, well, you know what? If this is our church and if this is the vision for our church, then it shouldn't be necessarily the response. Then we should lead by example. And the guarantors should not, we shouldn't have to ask the sanctuary or the church congregation for these guarantors. But we as a board, we should be the ones to put our names up and we'll be the ones to, you know, hold, I guess, be the backbone of this. And so at that time we were discussing, and that's when it really hit me. And then, very honestly, it was hard to accept that. And the biggest reason was because at that time, money, you know, like money for me wasn't a big deal in the sense for my own personal sake. Like, I didn't need extravagant things or things like that. But, you know, the biggest reason why money was such a huge stronghold for me was because of my parents, right? Because my story is my parents, we lost a lot during the 97 crisis. And ever since then, things have been rough. And then, so ever since then, I, you know, tried to step up and to work hard and things like that. And so, you know, my mandate was earn as much money as possible so that my parents are well taken care of. And, you know, when we came to this point where it was like, I was going to put my name, you know, and that put guaranteeing yourself on this document meant that, you know, your credit record is going to be pretty big when it comes to buying your own place. And, you know, I wanted to buy a building. Oh, sorry, I wanted to buy an apartment for my parents to take care of them, you know, so that they wouldn't have to worry about rent and things like that. And so it really challenged me to the core. And I was really thinking if I really want to sign my name on this. I remember I was reading this passage and it was like, it spoke to me because I totally get what this guy is saying. I totally understand when this guy is saying, look, let me just take care of my parents and I'll come follow you. Because I was probably thinking the exact same thing. I was like, Jesus, you know, let me just make sure my parents are okay. And I'll 110% I'll go after you. I'll give up everything else and I'll just come follow you. But, you know, that year God really taught me what it means to trust him, I think. It was a lot of stripping away of my own self-desires. And, you know, I came and, you know, by God's grace and going through other things here and there, you know, I was able to let go of that. You know, I was able to not just, you know, stop worrying, but to really entrust my own parents into God's hand. And I think what God is, and what Jesus is trying to tell this guy here is the same thing. He's trying to tell him, you know, when you put me as your priority, all these other things in your life, your parents, all these are, and these are good things. I'm not trying to say, it's not like I'm saying, God, Jesus, I want to, you know, I want to have these really, I want to keep taking drugs, but, you know, I want to follow you, same thing. It's nothing like that, right? It's like, it's good things that are also biblical, right? The Bible says it clearly, honor your parents, things like that. But when you compare it to following God, you have to still put God as a higher priority than that. And, you know, in my own life, as I did that, I've just seen God totally come and bless my family too. I've seen like ridiculous things happen that we never heard of. Like, I don't know, like somehow my mom now has land in Korea that we never knew existed. And so it's like, oh, but then you see God's providence come when you align yourself to Him. And then the crazy thing is, as you align yourself to God first, man, everything else just comes through alongside it, right? Your family, your relationships, your work, everything else will fall into place as you put God first. And believe me when I say it, because I totally didn't think that, but, you know, having gone through this, it's like, I'm going to experience it, it's true. And, you know, I hope you guys will take that into consideration. So, you know, following Jesus means putting Him first. And the last one, point number three, is when we follow Jesus, it requires us to follow Him wholeheartedly, right? 100%. And wholeheartedly, I think, just breaks down into two things. Being wholehearted requires us to be quick when it comes to obedience. And the second thing is it requires us not to dwell on the things of the past, but to look ahead and to focus on what God has in store for us. So in terms of quick obedience, you have this guy also in the passage, the last couple of verses where he says to Jesus, you know, I'm going to follow you, but first let me go back home, say goodbye to people, get my house in order, and then I'll come follow you. And Jesus says, no, just, you know, you should just go straight and proclaim the gospel. And, you know, for us in our lives too, when we come to follow Jesus, we need to learn how to be quick to obey. And to give you a glimpse of what it looks like for quick obedience, I'll just pull out a passage from Matthew 4. You guys don't have to turn there. But Matthew 4, verse 18 to 22, this is when Jesus calls the first disciples. It says, now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And if you read this passage, this gives you a good glimpse of what it means to obey God quickly. These guys, these brothers, right, they were fishing, they were doing their current job, right, which at that time probably was a huge occupation to sustain their livelihood, right? I mean, fishing, but back then it was a huge deal. But when Jesus calls to them, it's not like they were like, oh, Jesus, you want us to follow you? Great. Cast our nets, go back home, you know, figure out who wants to take over the business, you know, like, am I going to sell my boat now? Dad, are you going to take care of this now? Things like that. They don't care about those things, right? All they said was, immediately we chose to follow you, and they get out and they follow Jesus. And when it comes to us in our own Christian lives, whatever it means, when God calls us to obey Him, we need to be quick to obey, right? So that's the first thing. And the second thing about following Him wholeheartedly is it requires us not to dwell on the past, but look towards the future and to look ahead. And in Philippians 3, 13, 14, you know, Paul says, you know, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ, God in Christ Jesus, right? So it does require us not to look behind us, but to look ahead. And, you know, because, and this is looking back towards not just the bad things, right, but also the good things too, because, you know, the bad things can weigh us down. We understand that, right? If we keep dwelling on our past and the bad things that we've done, it prohibits us from really, truly moving forward into what God wants us to do. But at the same time, if we keep dwelling on the good things that God has done for us before, to a certain extent, it limits us to know what is coming ahead. Because you're so accustomed to seeing God move in this experience that that's what you're starting to now look for ahead of you. And you're kind of like, God, where are you moving? You moved like this before. And when you do that, you kind of miss out on the fact that God may have been moving on this side here. So, you know, when it comes to, you know, following God and being wholehearted and following Him, it requires us also, you know, not to look behind us, not to dwell on it, but to look ahead and to look forward towards God. So, you know, that's all I really want to share this morning. I just, you know, I really wanted to use this opportunity today, you know. It's not the end of the year. We're almost there, and it's not too late. But, you know, to a certain extent, I mean, maybe all of us here, we're feeling a little bit like, yeah, I'm not where I'm at, where I should be, right? Spiritually, I should not be, you know, tired. I should not find it difficult to wake up in the morning. I should not be finding it hard to think about what to pray. And maybe that's, you know, because we forget what it means to be a follower of Christ. And, you know, I hope that this morning is not meant to be a rebuke again, but just to help you guys remember, you know, sometimes we need these moments just to remember what it means to be, you know, a Christian. And then hopefully this will encourage you now to start doing the things that you used to do and to get back on track and just grow in the Lord. Okay, so let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. And as Yvaine comes up to lead us in worship, why don't we just spend some time just reflecting on our lives? Maybe some of you here, you know, maybe you guys are going to think, yeah, you know what? It's been harder to make a sacrifice for God. It's been hard to accept those costs for Him. And, you know, I just want to encourage you. Yeah, I know, I understand that. But, you know, don't forget the fact that when we give and when we sacrifice for the Lord, He comes and He blesses us and He makes sure that we are blessed. Others of us, maybe we've, you know, find it a hard time to put God as our first priority. You know, I encourage you. You know, Proverbs 3:6, it says, you know, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight, right? And in that same way, you know, I encourage you, just, you know, maybe it means you have to let go of things like that, and, you know, I encourage you to do that. But let Him be first and foremost. Side, you know what God is doing. And finally, maybe some of you guys are kind of pursuing God half-heartedly and stuff, and so for those, you know, I encourage you to really go after Him full, right? Don't dwell on the things in the past, but look towards what is ahead. So let's take some time to pray.
Dreams that are yet to come true. Oh. my heart and my hands, I lift it to you. Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my, Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life.
And why don't we turn to our community prayer focus for today. Let's lift up those people in our family, our body here at church, and our friends. Those who are battling with cancer, those who are going through chemotherapy, and who are looking for a transplant. Let's really pray for them, and that, you know, that God will come and bring breakthrough in their lives. Let's also pray for those who are sick, but, you know, not just sick, but also don't know the Lord yet. And let's just really pray that they will be surrounded by people, you know, good, godly Christians. And so as they are surrounded by these people, that they would hear and experience the Word of God. And as they hear, that they would believe and receive Christ. So let's lift up those people as well. Let's also pray for those who are also dealing with other related injuries. Let's lift them up. And finally, let's lift up those brothers and sisters who are looking for jobs. Let's pray that God would open up doors of opportunities, and that, you know, that He would just bring these things, many of whom we've been praying for long. Let's pray for a real breakthrough. Let's turn to our church and ministry focus. Let's pray for the local ministries here in Hong Kong. Let's pray all. Let's pray for the local churches. Let's pray for YWAM, SSI, Sports Services International, for Shanti, for Masters Beauty, the Red Light District, Outreach. Let's also lift up Face to Face and Jimmy Stewart. Let's really pray for Jimmy, who's, you know, recovering from a stroke, and is, you know, he's been going through these, he's been having problems with his knees for a long time. So let's pray that God would really heal him. You know, that he could just be a real good testimony that he would be able to share through his own ministry. Let's lift up Alman and Jensen College, Amanda at Feed the Hungry, and Neil at CSW. Let's just lift up these ministries. Each one has its own part to play in Hong Kong. And let's just pray that, in, you know, that they would be just diligent in serving the Lord, that they would have every needs met and provided, and that God would just continually give them great visions. You know, that they wouldn't just settle for just, you know, working in day in and day out, but that God will continuously give him great big visions to further bless, you know, the country here in Hong Kong. Let's also pray for our SP ministries we have here. Let's lift up the worship team, the audiovisual team. Let's pray for the hospitality welcoming team and the barista ministry. Let's just pray for serving hearts, that people would just have such a heart and a desire to serve another person. And also that, you know, that many of these ministries, they could use more help. So let's just pray that, you know, on a congregation level, that people are moved to want to serve in these capacities as well. Let's just lift up these ministries. And let's finally lift up McCain House Church, who is meeting tonight. Let's lift up Bo-Young and KJ, who will be leading the session. Let's pray that, you know, that would be real, that God would really show up during their times when they pray and when they minister and when they share the word, and that people's hearts would just go, be so open to what God is doing in that place. So let's lift them up too. Thank you. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the word that you've given us today. And God, I pray you would just help us to remember what it means to follow you, Lord Jesus, Father, what it means to be a follower of Christ. And help us, Lord God, Father, in all things, Lord, being able to be able to sacrifice for you, Lord God, to be able to put you first, and to be able to love you and pursue you wholeheartedly. God, I pray for everybody who is here, Lord Jesus, Father, that you would really, Lord God, it's not the end of 2012 yet, and I pray, Lord God, with what time we have, that you would just really take him up to a new level, Lord God, Father. Give them the desires, the hunger to really pursue after you. And Jesus, I pray that, God, that you would just bless them in everything that they do. I pray you would bless them at their jobs, that you would bless them in their relationships with people. When they speak, I pray that, God, that you would just show up and minister to those around them, that they may be a light, Lord God, wherever they are for you, Lord, to these people. And I pray that, God, that you would help them to make the right decisions day in and day out, Lord God, that they would make godly choices throughout their day, and that they would just remind themselves, Lord God, that everything that they do for you. And so we thank you, Lord God. We just pray you just bless them today. And in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you.